KCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Southern Californians are back on high alert for powerful winds that could fan the wildfire flames and potentially create new ones. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
Strengthening winds, lowering relative humidity, and warm temperatures are going to contribute to this extreme fire behavior, which is going to be redeveloping through the day.
A Senate confirmation hearing set to begin in an hour for Pam Bondi, Donald Trump's pick for attorney general. CBS's Nicole Killians on Capitol Hill.
Certainly when it comes to the president-elect's position around the Justice Department, he has made clear that he believes the Justice Department has been weaponized against him.
After questioning Pete Hegseth,
will you support women continuing to have the opportunity to serve in combat roles?
Republican Joni Ernst, Senate's first female combat veteran, tells Des Moines WHO radio she'll vote to confirm the former Fox News host for defense secretary. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Governor Tony Evers says he's working to reform gun laws in Wisconsin. And no doubt, he'll face resistance from Republicans. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tome Olson explains.
The governor says he'll be looking at things like red flag laws, expanding background checks, and gun storage laws. In 2019, Evers called lawmakers to a special session to address gun violence. Republican leaders famously called the legislature into session and immediately adjourned, gaveling in and gaveling out, something they've done multiple times since. Now, since Evers took office, state Democrats have proposed at least 30 bills they say would make Wisconsin safer, but none of them have passed because Republicans haven't supported them and they have control of the legislature. Evers signed an executive order creating the Office of Violence Prevention, surrounded by advocates and leaders. Here's the big question. Can he get Republicans on board?
Just weeks after a school shooting took the lives of a student and an educator who never returned home, common sense gun safety reform and reducing crime and gun violence must finally be a shared priority that transcends politics and partisanship. Reducing crime and violence should be an issue that receives earnest bipartisan support this session.
To create this new Office of Violence Prevention, Evers used $10 million from leftover federal funding to get it started. But going forward, it'll need money allocated in the state budget to keep it going, and that is up to the legislature.
And the Wausau School District is about to go through some major changes to their elementary schools by consolidating to just four of them. One of the biggest concerns for parents has been the new bus routes. But the schools are confident that they'll be able to make ends meet by adding more routes. And if you're a parent with questions, the district says to reach out, and they'll also be sending a memo in just a few weeks of how the changes are going to look. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Bucks topple the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks took command in the first quarter and beat the Sacramento Kings 130-115. Giannis Antetokounmpo with his 50th career triple-double on getting off to a fast start.
We had like a pace about us, I think, in the first quarter. And we would just make shots, too. I think we scored like 47 points in the first light. So that's good.
In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers beat the Ohio State Buckeyes 70-68. That was Greg Gard's 200th career win as head coach. Marquette on the road in Chicago went into overtime with DePaul, but pulled out an 85-83 win over the Blue Demons. In the NFL, Packers quarterback coach Tom Clements announcing he's decided to retire. He is 71 years old. Running back A.J. Dillon says he'll return stronger than ever. Dillon spent all of last season on IR with a neck stinger. He's set to become a free agent. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunshine this morning, becoming cloudy with some light snow possible this afternoon. It will get a little breezy, too, by later today. Our high 21, the wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, 16. Tomorrow, breezy, mostly cloudy, 32. We'll get to 35 on Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below zero.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood for kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Top of the show at 2 p.m. I dissect Jack Smith's January 6th insurrection report. You're not going to want to miss this lawyer lady breaking it down for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show. Time is 8:07. It is Wednesday, January the 15th of 2025. Currently, fair skies, 6 below 0 in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. But it's a warm 6 below because there's no wind. There's no wind. Yeah. There's no wind chill this morning. So it's a warm
spring,
6 below.
Right around the corner.
Exactly right. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by going to YouTube.com. We have a new YouTube channel since you've been here. We got a WXCO YouTube channel now.
Really?
So you can actually see us on YouTube.com. Just go to the YouTube.com, go to our 98.9 WXCO channel, become a subscriber. You can catch all of our shows. You can go back and watch previous shows as well, right there on that channel. We're going to expand on it and have some other cool stuff on it, but you can make comments and join us that way as well. And also, if you like to call us or text us, if there's something we're talking about that you either agree or disagree with, or if there's something we're not talking about that you think we should be talking about, let us know. Give us a ring. Give us a text. It's real simple. You can do it the old-fashioned way. 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us, or else get your Civic Media app out there. Open it up. The fourth one down is 98.9 WXCO. Open it up and then hit the text button or hit the call button and let us know what you think, because we'd love to hear from you. And you can also, again, comment on our YouTube channel or by going to our Facebook post as well. Coming up here on the program, in the second hour of the show, we are going to be joined at 9:34 a.m. by Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Yesterday, there was an ethics complaint filed against Wausau Mayor Doug Denny by 8 Wausau residents concerning the issues with the Dropbox back during the fall campaign. So we'll find out what's behind this specific complaint by these 8 Wausau citizens. Why was it necessary to have this complaint put out, to have an ethics investigation against the mayor? What does Nick Ramos know in terms of the Department of Justice investigation, again, of Wausau Mayor Doug Denny concerning the drop boxes? So Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign with us at 9:34. Also in the second hour of the program, we'll find out what's going on early in 2025 at the Grand Theater. We'll be joined by Grand Theater and Wausau Performing Arts Foundation Executive Director Sean Wright. He'll be with us in the early part of hour number two. And right across the way here, first time in 2025, very happy to welcome back to the program our good friend Bob Look. Bob, good morning.
Well, good morning there, Chad, and good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Ian.
I mean,
I forgot to give Ian the shout out.
Ian is I don't know how he can stand being in his workplace because he's got that big vacation coming up here.
Yeah, we got. I think he has a big calendar back there with the big numbers. You know,
every day X's amount.
He comes in and just rips it off, and then it's one day closer. What is the number today, Ian? What's your number to head down to sunny Orlando and see Mickey and Goofy and the rest of them?
Today is it's 4 days until I leave for my trip. I'm very excited, but I have to be patient and, you know, do my jobs this week.
There you go.
Good things come to those who wait.
He's going to have a countdown clock by Friday. He'll be a countdown in my home.
He'll be able to launch himself to Florida by the, you know, all that energy going through.
I'm in such a good mood this morning, and I know.
Well, I'm peaked already.
I'll tell you why, because I got up at the regular time way early, and you know, and I know I had to come on in here. I was worried, you know, make sure the car starts and all that kind of stuff. But the first thing I did, I picked up my phone and I stopped and I found a video from David Letterman was showing, and it was like a little tribute to Robin Williams.
I saw that,
yeah. You know, and so I was always a Robin Williams fan, so I didn't know how this long this thing was going to be. And there's a whole bunch of the appearances he made on David Letterman's show, and just all this. And I was in my bedroom laughing my tail off. It just reminded me just the amazing breadth of comedic genius Robin Williams was. All these things were just coming out of him just so fast that you'd have to catch up, you know, with your laughing because he was so fast. And I watched that and I shook my head and I went, what have I got to complain about? Man, this world was such a beautiful place with a person with that much creativity and that appreciate it and relish it, even though he's no longer with us.
The man oozed.
Oh!
I mean, he could take a grain and just build a sandcastle
with it.
And
the ones that I love are those little side of ones that no one else really gets. But, you know that Robin's throwing it out there for himself and, of course, for Letterman, and Letterman's just losing it. And the crowd's not even laughing, like, what's so funny? And Letterman, it's a little inside shot. And when you're inside, you know the punchline. So I'm in a good mood this morning.
That is fantastic. It just shows again the power of laughter. Yeah. I mean, it really does. I mean, it just, when you laugh so hard and it hurts, then if you make it, you just feel so good. I mean, whatever within ourselves, there's something in there that, you know, our body chemistry, when you do that, it just, and I think nowadays, I mean, that is a wonderful way to start off our morning.
It made my
Robin
whole morning.
Is my hero.
Really?
And he was my, I wouldn't say a hero, but I had so much respect for him because of the quickness and nothing, and very seldom, in fact, I always would watch all of his appearances on shows, you know, talk shows or what have you. Just so I could see something that maybe I saw before, there was never a repeat. How does he do this?
And the thing about that's kind of funny because I get myself caught up in these YouTube rabbit holes. And, like stuff like that, you just keep going and going and going in certain areas. And, talking about not repeating yourself, I got into a rabbit hole with some Steve Martin appearances on Conan and Carson and Letterman. And he basically did the same kind of bit with Carson back like 20 some years earlier than with Conan. But the thing was, back then, you would never have thought of, you know, I mean, the thing was, I don't get mad at somebody, well, 20, 25 years earlier you did something and you're going to bring it back. I mean, but that shows there's nothing that's lost anymore.
No, nowadays. Correct.
It's all there. It's like incredible.
See, I like watching other comedians, you know, because their pacing and how they do things. I was a big fan of Rodney Dangerfield. Mm. And when he was, you know, flying high with all his movie appearances and, of course, his touring, I went and saw him at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee with a couple of my buddies and that stuff. And we had the time of our – we know the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know them. You know, I remember going to see Henny Youngman at Summerfest at the comedy thing, like back in the 80s. Henny Youngman was you know old what, then.
I was going to say, you know why I'm laughing is I can only imagine, and I hope we have enough young people listening right now that actually know who
Henny Youngman is. Well, what's a Henny Youngman?
They're saying, who the heck is Henny Youngman?
But I mean, I mean, there's other great comedians that are rolling right now that are doing a good job with, you know, with their angles of getting humor. But I just appreciate the ability of standing up on stage.
It's a craft.
You're on by basically yourself. It's just you, you know, directing your communication to the audience, just like we're doing now. We're just talking to the audience.
Yes, the ultimate challenge of acting is being a stand-up, at least to me, because, you know,
You're out there with
a local theater. I'm surrounded by cast members, and I can.
Oh yeah, so, somebody else can pick it up.
When you're on stage by yourself, a microphone and some water bottles, you have to entertain this whole audience by yourself. Like that is a whole nother level of a challenge.
Well, in my younger days,
I can work up to that someday.
In my younger days, I tried those little amateur nights. You know, stand up. I'd work out to a little, like a 5 minute or 8 minute, you know, spiel, and. Remember the first time I did this was on Brady Street, down on Milwaukee's east side. I can't remember the name of the place. It'll come to me eventually. But I walked up on, and it was basically, you would see a tumbleweed coming across the stage, you know, and crickets were, you know, making their noises. And I was just like, oh. That's when you start realizing you just can't come up there and wing it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be prepared, and you have to work these things out. The correct vocabulary, you know, the right words, that some words are funny and some are not, and you find that out basically by throwing them out there and trying them on people.
You're exactly right, and I've read Steve Martin's book Born Standing Up, about basically his stand-up career, and that's exactly it. You hear the stories from people like Seinfeld and all the greats.
Yeah,
they're craftspeople. That's what I mean. They're the same thing as
George Carlin.
You talk about a man that knew language, and that's, I mean, the intelligence that is needed, I think. And I think you can have connections with the most effective communicators in politics. I mean, the same way, I mean, you can have great ideas, you can have great ability, but at the same time you have to be able to speak to people in a way that connects with them, that says, has them nodding along, that hey, this person knows
and
my
relate.
Experiences relate.
That's the key thing.
And there are so many folks out there that run for office that would be wonderful, but they just are not able to have that connection, and ultimately their talents are never able to be.
They're handed very middle-of-the-road-ish type, you know, responses. And, you know, just so you don't offend anybody. Well, what you've done by just going so, so safe is that nobody's listening anymore.
You're nodding.
You bored them.
People are going, they're falling asleep. But no, I got to tell you, you know, in the big picture of the world, maybe we did not touch on, you know, the issues of the day, but that was a wonderful way to start a morning. I gotta say,
that's real. This is what I had this morning.
But when you came across something that made your day get off to a good start, and hopefully we can do that for the rest of this program and the rest of the day as well. But Bob, look across the way, Ian Welsh. Across the way, across on the other side of the glass, and we will talk about the weather. It's going to warm up later today.
Better.
That's what we're hearing. So we'll find out for sure from Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, coming up next. The time is 8:18. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Donald Trump's inaugural committee has received $170 million in contributions, and it's expected to reach $200 million, almost double his 2017 total. Yes, the contributions pay for inaugural balls, but inaugural funds are also a vehicle for corporate pay-to-play contributions, currying favor for federal contracts, lenient legislation, or access to the president. The Associated Press reported January 9th that the totals were far beyond President Trump's $107 million in 2017 and President Biden's $62 million in 2021. The Federal Election Commission oversees inaugural contributions, and any donation of $200 or more must be reported. But 90 days after the contribution is made and long after the spotlight is gone. There are no individual or corporate contribution limits, and only foreign nationals are barred from donating. Among the known 2024 inaugural donors, Amazon, Meta, OpenAI, Toyota, Ford, General Motors, and Boeing all made public statements when they donated $1 million each. Energy company Chevron said in a statement to Reuters, "Chevron has a long tradition of celebrating democracy by supporting the inaugural committees of both parties." Or perhaps they're sending a message to someone. We have more on the pay-to-play history of inaugurations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, a chilly start out there, below zero, six below, but the good news is no wind out there, at least. So, again, as I said earlier, it's a warm six below zero. I don't know if Brittany Merlot will go along with that or not, but our meteorologist joins us right now. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. It is warm, six below, right?
Yes, exactly.
I agree
right.
with you.
And actually, I was saying to Bob during the break here, and I was coming into work this morning, and one of the nice things, you know, you're driving in, and you know, the sun is coming up, and it really is actually kind of an attractive morning. I saw a number of people walking their dogs this morning. And I saw a few people. They're just enjoying the walk, enjoying their dogs. One of the dogs had the vest on. It was really a good looking dog, you know. And it's like, you know, no matter how cold it is, these folks here in Wisconsin, we just do what we do, right?
Yep. Keep pushing forward. I mean, I said this yesterday. I think at some point it all feels the same. Cold is cold, and we're just right. going to power through it, right? I'm glad to hear, though, that the puppy had, or dog, had a coat or sweater on because they get cold, too. So don't think that just because they're fur, they're any much warmer than we are. If you're cold, they're cold. So be careful and pay attention to their paws, too. The salt can rip them.
Yes.
So...
Something you said on one of our newscasts, and of course Brittany does the news as well, top and bottom of the hour, every hour here on WXCO, and you were talking about, I think it was on Monday, talking about what not to do in these very cold conditions when maybe you are on the verge of getting either, you know, frostbite along those lines. And one of the things you were talking about was don't rub. I mean, frankly, as I was driving, I was driving at the time, and I was listening to it. It was almost disturbing. I'm thinking about that and the way you were describing it, and it's really the opposite of what maybe people think. You think, oh, rub together, get some warmth in there, and you were saying, no, that's exactly the wrong thing to do. Why is that?
Yes, because so what's happening when frostbite and frost nips occurring is the cells in the water in your hand and your skin are freezing. So they're freezing. And if you're going to rub them, you're going to damage them even more and where it's not going to be fixable. So if you're going to be rubbing your hands, that's worse. What you want to do is just get them somewhere warm fast. What I do, because I've been outside, you know, they always send the meteorologist in the cold, crazy weather outside. So I have plenty of experience with this. And when my fingers are going absolutely numb, I can't feel them, but I have to stay outside for this next hit. I'll put them, you know, in between your armpits or between your legs. Mm-hmm. Don't rub, but just put them there, place them there, right, and let your body heat actually warm it up, because that's the quickest you can do in a, you know, dire situation. Otherwise, just get inside, use warm water, not hot water, warm water to slowly warm them up. You don't want any drastic changes in temperature, and you definitely don't want to rub them. So,
you mentioning, the TV days and being out there during these weird weather conditions. I think one of the, I always chuckle, and we don't see it anymore because we never get any snow anymore, it seems like. But when they would send the weather person out right outside the studio to stand with a ruler, and it would be windy and the what do you have a favorite story when they would send you outside for one of these weather events?
I have a couple. My favorite, I always try to make things positive. I never sat there and hated it, So what I did one time, it was 30 below zero. It was actually snowing up north. Now, this is Minnesota weather. And I was in my dress because I was also in the studio, but they would send me outside as well every half an hour. So I was freezing and I was like, you know what? Forget this. I'm doing a snow angel. I don't even care. I was in a dress, freezing cold, just doing the snow angel.
I hope you got an award for that one.
Brittany, it's anything for the ratings, right?
I think it helped.
Man, oh man. It is Wednesday morning. The whole week up to this point has been a frigid start, but it is changing today, in fact, right?
Yes, we're warming up today. Those winds are switching out of the south, and they're going to get breezy. So we want these temperatures to warm. So we're going to have a wind chill once again. What it's going to feel like is about 5 below for our highs, unfortunately, but they're actually going to be reaching about 20. But those winds are also going to be gusting at 20. It's a warm wind. It'll eventually get us to the low 30s by tomorrow and the mid-30s on Friday, before another cold front pushes through and slams us back down colder than where we are right now. So a weather whiplash. Hold on tight.
Yeah, and if you thought this week was cold, boy, again, it looks like Monday, Sunday night into Monday, we're not going to come close to even getting to zero, are we?
Nope, we're not. We're going to stay sub-zero, plus winds on top of that. It's going to be probably our first extreme cold weather warnings going out. Deep freeze, that's for sure. Pipes freezing, all of that, and good thing we have a little more snow headed our way this evening. Probably after 5 o'clock, we're looking at half an inch to an inch of snowfall, because the snow on the ground is going to help with those freezing pipes, because that's going to be a problem come Sunday and Monday.
Well, we'll talk more about that as we get towards the end of the work week. Brittany, again, thanks a lot for the information. Have yourself a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Brittany. Have a good day, guys.
Amen.
Right now in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, it is fair, 6 degrees below zero, but the winds are calm, so no wind chill. Dew point 12 below, relative humidity of 75%, the barometer at 30.28 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. There goes my next career as a meteorologist.
All those numbers. You're talking about those live shots with television meteorologists. Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel, I think, is the winner of being thrown into more life-threatening areas like hurricanes and blizzards and things.
Do you remember though Dan Rather when he'd go out there?
Oh yeah.
He loved doing that at the hurricanes.
I'm standing here. And it's like everything else is blowing past him, and the poor cat. I'm thinking of the cameraman who's sitting there hanging on to that deal while that wind is buffering
when
you.
Dan says, "We're going out."
Let's go get to the story. You can have fun,
while
Dan.
Peter and Tom were still sitting in the studio. Dan was out there grabbing a hold of one of the light poles to stay, you know, in the middle.
No
of the
wonder
storm.
He ended his newscast with courage.
Exactly.
Right.
8:29 is the time. We have an information update coming up, news, weather, and sports, and then back with more with Bob Look coming up in just a few moments here on 98.9 WXCO.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. A Wausau man was sentenced to more than 3 years in federal prison for conspiring to distribute meth and cocaine. 50-year-old Troy Olson was sentenced last week. He was a middleman essential to the operation. And Culver's announced yesterday that its fundraising efforts for the Abundant Life Christian School following the deadly shooting in December totaled to $165,000. 80 locations participated in the fundraiser and are donating a portion of their January 6th sales to benefit families impacted by the shooting. The funds will go directly from the restaurants to the United Way of Dane County's Abundant Life Christian School Emergency and Recovery Fund. And Wisconsin will now have an Office of Violence Prevention. Governor Tony Evers signed an executive order about a month after the shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. It all started with a pretty packed press conference attended by advocates, police officers, lawmakers, and even students. Many of them wore orange, the color often used to raise awareness of gun violence.
Our statewide Office of Violence Prevention efforts will include connecting the dots between state and local government agencies, including law enforcement agencies, to ensure a whole-of-government approach to violence prevention. Supporting and providing technical assistance to local violence prevention and intervention efforts, developing public education campaigns to promote safer communities, and identifying opportunities to improve statewide policies or laws.
The office will start with $10 million. That money will come from leftover funds from the American Rescue Plan Act. A lot of that money will go into the grants for local communities, doing the work to keep people safer. Then, he'll include ongoing funding for the office and gun violence reform in the state budget. But of course, anything in the budget will need agreement from Republican lawmakers who control the legislature. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Doors lead singer Jim Morrison was found dead in a bathtub in 1971. Some believe he faked his own death. A new docuseries, Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison, takes a closer look at the rock star who was only 27 when he fled to Paris, supposedly to get away from fame. Director Jeff Finn features Morrison's brother Andy and his sister Anne, as well as archival footage as he dives deep into the singer's life and death. The three-episode documentary can be streamed on Apple TV for $7.99. Stop the presses. Robert De Niro will be playing a gangster in a new mob film. If that's not fun enough, De Niro's rival gangster in said mob film will be played by Robert De Niro. The film Alto Nights will tell the story of a 1950s dispute between legendary New York gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, who were once best friends but became adversaries. The film will be directed by Barry Levinson. How great would it be if De Niro received an Oscar and a Razzie for the same movie? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunshine this morning, becoming cloudy with some light snow possible this afternoon. It will get a little breezy, too, by later today. Our high 21, the wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, 16. Tomorrow, breezy, mostly cloudy, 32. We'll get to 35 on Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 5 below.
The Todd Allbus Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
On the way, Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us. I got an interesting voicemail about I don't have to worry about paying any taxes. Also, who is coming in on H-1B visas? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Hey, and welcome back to Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can join us on our YouTube channel as well. A quick note, again, in the second hour, Sean Wright early on from the Grand Theater, and again at 9:34 a.m. we'll be joined by Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign discussing the ethics complaint that was filed yesterday against Wausau Mayor Doug Denny. But here in the first hour, across the way from Bob Look, and Bob, I mean, obviously we're now into the new year. We have the state legislature was opened. It was really cool, actually. I had a chance to talk to an old classmate of mine, somebody I graduated
That's
high
right,
school with,
yeah.
Kristen Alfheim, mm-hmm. and it's like really cool that somebody that you kind of grew up with is now, and she was talking about the excitement, brought her grandmother, who's like 98 oh, yeah. years old, yeah. to come and be part of the swearing in. That was really cool. But now we're into that. The Congress is back into session. We're getting ready for the inauguration. What's caught your attention in terms of anything that's going on? It could be political, it could be non-political. Is there anything that's caught your attention here that we should kind of delve into a little bit?
Well, a lot of attention to the so-called nominations or the people that the new administration or the continuation of
Donald
the,
Trump's official family,
you know, laying up there for approval. And there's so many, you know, from the left really just, oh, could they do this? Oh, there's no way. Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. And you're right. But, you know, maybe this is kind of like the tough love time, you know. Where for back when you were a kid, you know, and you would disobey your father, you know, just far enough that it's time that he, you know, puts down the hammer. I think this is, you know, maybe the American public and the American voters going to be slapped back into reality pretty soon. And it's going to maybe take about a year, year and a half, and then it's going to be, oh my God, what the heck? It's when things don't work as they normally do.
Well, see, that's what I was telling Chad yesterday, is that, you know, eventually the people are going to get wise and come out from under their rocks and realize that this man is unfit for office and he should not have been elected in the first place. It's not going to happen soon, but eventually I believe it's going to happen.
Well, one of the ideas, and maybe to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, Bob, is the idea that people, and I find it a little hilarious, because I went on Pat's show yesterday, and I said, I'm kind of a little, you know, joking around, you know, why did this, he had an issue with technology in his previous time. I said, why? DEI this, because, you know, that's what everyone's saying. But at the same time, they're talking about unqualified people. Then you look at the people that have been brought in. Like you say, I mean, these jobs do have definite responsibilities. You can say, well, they can always get great deputies, but the idea that when you look at the qualifications up and down the line, and even Sean Duffy, who's not going to have any issues, you know, they say, well, he's got experience, you know, in Congress. He has nothing in his background that says he could to replace Pete Buttigieg, who I think has done a wonderful job as transportation secretary. But you just look down the list of these nominees, there's a lack of seriousness from the incoming president that you would think that it should matter, right? It should matter. I guess we're going to find out.
If their philosophy is based on that government does not work, well, they're trying like hell to prove it. You know, that's the name of the game right now. I get to the point where I'm not as focused on the nominees or the people that he's appointed
and to go through the process of being accepted or not. I don't follow that much. You know, when he starts talking about, you know, changing the Gulf of Mexico and calling it the Gulf of America, saying that Canada is going to be a 51st state and stuff, that goes in one ear and out the other, because right. All it is just, hey, look at those shiny keys. Oh, look at that squirrel. And dogs might, you know, exactly. Follow that. But I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm looking at the bare bones, you know, type of things, you know, about... Is the mail department, you know, postal service going to be still running correctly? Our bank's going to be, you know, stable,
right?
Because, you know, all those nice little positives that have been happening, not just recently, but for the past 4 years, as far as every month being a positive as far as employment goes, creating jobs, wages going up. You know, there's going to be people right now who are doing pretty well who are going to go into this going, all right, well, now Trump will show them how things are. And suddenly, maybe close to 2 years from now, you're going to be going, I used to have a job, or, well, they're cutting back my hours, or, well, they found somebody that had less money. I was not in a union, and they just got rid of me. It's going to, you know...
Maybe policies matter. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
You know, and we can sit there and talk, you know, saying, well, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Well, sometimes people have to see it
to
believe
right.
it and deal with it. So I just, like, patient fishermen sit and wait for them and they take the bait.
The sad aspect of it, though, is it seems as though people catch attention of the bad things even before the good things. Because as you said, last Friday morning when it was announced the final jobs report for the Biden administration, another 256,000 jobs. And the part that's always, it makes me chuckle a little bit is because almost every month you hear it, higher than expected. And then the number that that nobody ever talks about when it comes to the idea of prices. And obviously for the first couple of years after the pandemic, the inflation spike hurt a lot of people.
Without doubt.
And it's not to minimize that. But at the same time, the United States was, I think, injured a lot less than a lot of other countries, because there's a global aspect where when you have the entire system go into chaos for 6 months to a year and then try to rebuild it. But the number that drew my attention on Friday was how wages grew. That Biden and other Democrats over these last 4 years have talked about growing the economy from the middle out, going, you know, up and down, as opposed to trickle down. And there's also a story that I saw that, you know, the Republicans are going to come in here in the next week or so and try to extend the Trump tax cuts or maybe even add to them. And there was a story talking about how a right-wing group is spending $20 million to convince working people that this is a good thing. But a study came out, and again, you can take it with a grain of salt. I mean, studies you can find studies that give the information that you want on either side. I acknowledge that. But it rang true that said that the Trump tax cuts of 2017 basically gave almost 100% of the benefits to the top 1%. And it makes sense because that's where their priorities have been for such a long time. But it feels like a lot of the good things that occur kind of get caught under the wave of silliness when it comes to news coverage. But when things get bad, then people, their attention is grabbed. And that's it's a depressing way to think, that we have to go through something bad in order for people to really realize what works and what doesn't work.
There's an author, not an author, but also a professor, Scott Galloway is his name. I don't know if you've had a chance, but he's written. But he was on, you know, and he's, look him up on YouTube, folks. Scott Galloway is the guy's name. And he's a wealthy individual who started a business. And you know, he's the guy stepping forward saying, you know, I should be paying a heck of a lot more in taxes. That does just make sense. I says, because the difference in somebody who is worth who made $10 million or $15 million a year, a larger tax cut, say that out of that $15 million, we're gonna take an extra $1.5 million from you. That doesn't mean anything to him. Mm-hmm. You can't fathom it. But if you make $30,000 a year or $50,000 a year, and suddenly it says, you know, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to make a tax, you know, cut of, you know, so it means more, because that's going to be going right back into the economy, being spent on things that, you know, you've held back on buying because you things were tight. The other side, when it's the wealthy people, where does it go, that tax cut? In their pocket.
Well, it's all part of a ledger in a lot of ways. It's basically moving money around and not really doing anything for the economy. And also, we heard over and over again in 2021 and 2022, well, from so-called financial journalists and the like, well, there's a recession coming. I don't think it was an accident that the economy grew consistently over these last number of years. I don't think it's an accident that people's take-home wages have gone up, that the policies brought through, the way that, say, the Infrastructure Act was implemented, it matters. And I don't think people realize that. I think because, as you said, Republicans consistently pound on the fact that government doesn't work. If government doesn't work, no, it does matter. And I think a lot of people don't think it matters because you have one of the major political parties in this country constantly telling you this, and they've got a media infrastructure that amplifies that as well.
Well, again, you know, people only want to believe what they want to believe. Even if the facts are against your belief, you're still going to, you know, stand by, I don't believe that. It's pretty easy when you look at your, you know, your intake of wages. And I run on a budget like any other mm-hmm. human being. I don't sit there and say, well, let's say, oh, I got to, you know, January, there was an increase in what I received in Social Security, right? Which was, well, $12 or something mm-hmm. more. I can't, but it was something. I didn't run out and think I'll go buy a new car. No, I still got my, you know, 2014 over here that's, you know, runs well enough. I'm doing fine. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'll buy myself a ribeye. You know,
maybe the size of your what is that?
That's a frappe.
Okay, a frappe. So make it a bigger one this time.
Yeah, well, no,
or they're just one size. I don't know.
Well, whether it is a bigger one or not, I like this because it does everything I need in the morning. It gives me a little caffeine buzz without doing the coffee tearing my insides out. And I'll have this until about noon.
One thing about, you know, you said people listening to – Pat Kreitel told me a story on the air a couple weeks ago saying that he has a friend of his who had said, basically, I know what Trump tells me is not true, but I want it to be true. So he believes it. And that was like the most depressing thing that I'd heard in a long time. Where we get not only to the point where they are just wrong maybe on something, but they're willfully wrong. And it's like that is a step almost too far at times for me to understand.
Well, again, I was impressed with MSNBC and deciding, and I don't know who really came up with the idea or whether it was – you know, done by, you know, herself, you know, to go back on Monday through Friday.
Yes.
Instead of just that Monday night.
I mean, come
on. For the first 100 days of the, because as she pointed out on her telecast on Monday, don't react to what he says. Focus on what he does. And that is
wise words.
That's the way I'm going to be looking at things, and that's the way I always have been looking at things. Because you can hear anybody talk about, I'm going to guarantee lower unemployment. No, let's see. What are you doing to achieve that? How are you going to get this done? You know, it's boring as hell, all the minute things, but that's the stuff that makes either works or doesn't.
By the way, and I know you listen to the podcast as well. The Olbermann podcast.
Always.
I do too. I wish he'd be back on. I think that's something we need. I understand Rachel. I understand Chris Hayes. But sometimes you need somebody to go in there with a little bit of fire and brimstone.
Well, Keith is also the kind of guy that, you know, there's a lot of people over at MSNBC, even though that He pretty much, you know, set them up for
the bridges weren't burned. They were napalm.
They were annihilated. He runs by his own, and
he tells the stories. I love that part of his podcast.
So
some of the stories behind the
and every scenes. Time I listen to him, I go, you know, I'm trying to find something where he's wrong.
I know,
or where he's maybe lying. It don't happen. He's pretty straightforward as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, but a lot of people don't like to hear that.
No, they don't. So.
But I'll what? Keith, listen to our podcast and rip us on your
there
show.
There you go. 8:49 is the time. We're going to take a quick timeout and come back. More with Bob Look here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours. And then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
And welcome back, Chad Holmstrom, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. When you hear that I'm off in Chippewa Falls on a Monday night, does it make you miss doing high school sports any more?
Yes, but no. Yeah, man, it's kind of a yes-no proposition because I always enjoyed going to right. do the game.
It's getting there and getting back, right?
Yeah, because of the weather, you know, flip a coin, are we going to be in a ditch somewhere around Thorpe?
Right.
So I envy it, but then I go, no. No, it's something that I think that people today are used to seeing, especially in this marketplace, Wausau. You know, and other markets throughout the state of Wisconsin, which is becoming a kind of a dying breed, because there's more radio stations cutting back on doing these things,
right.
And then you have these organizations that throw up a camera, and then throw a couple of grade schoolers to sit there and give you a play by play, kind of like the Big Ten Plus. But that's the truth, folks, and it's like, why was the Badger basketball game last night on Peacock.
We know why.
I know why. I know. But why was the Big Ten Network even put together? You could figure out ways to try to draw more money. And now with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, was that interesting, huh?
Well, I posted that as a little special edition deal where that the Brewers, you know, want to work again with whoever the company, whatever they're going to call it now.
FanDuel Sports.
Yeah, well, it's called FanDuel. I think they're going to call it Midwest Sports, something or other.
Every name change is coming quicker and quicker, I tell you.
Right, yeah. But you know, even the Brewers know that there's that, because the Brewers, I believe, ranked second as far as regional sports ratings for their games.
Wow, I did not know that.
Second. I mean, first place was the Phillies. Philadelphia was the top, but Milwaukee was second as far as their ratings go with the percent of people who tune into it. And as I was doing that on my little writing thing about, you know, the Brew Crew Review, and just saying that that's an important part of the Milwaukee Brewers' loyalty to the fans. Mm-hmm. This is a state team. No matter what anyone says, this isn't a Milwaukee team. Right. It's a state of Wisconsin. When they built Miller Park, well, I'm Fam Field now, but when they built it and they had that roof on it, that first thing I said is, best thing I could ever done. Because now you guarantee a game. And when people drive long distances, you want a game.
Yes.
I don't care if it's storming outside. Get that roof and have a roof there and get that damn game on.
obviously. <Sorry. laughs> No, it's all good. I got to ask you, because, I mean, if everybody gets depressed when the Packer season ends, because now the dog days of winter begin, what was your take on Sunday? Because it was not a great finish for the green and gold.
I had a little post on Facebook basically saying they can't drop balls. You can't have needless penalties. You can't have, and if you do, there's no way they'll even come close to winning. And pretty much, and plus they have to quit acting like the youngest team in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that just reared its ugly head quite noticeably. And that's good because quite possibly with a couple of those, the veterans that they picked up, running back and the defensive back, who came here to be successful, well, they're weeding the garden right now. Who can play, who can't play? And I'm sure that the general manager, and there could be some changes made, and I wouldn't be surprised if, because the cap numbers are available now, that there's going to be probably a named wide receiver that's going to come to the Packers that's going to make things a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of throwing to, who's that? I have no idea.
Devontae's coming back.
Well, I didn't say that.
I say it. He's coming back. That's my prediction.
Well, we'll see.
And how are things in Madison? Greg Gard, number 200 last night. Congratulations.
Very nice. Nice win for Greg and his program. Badger Hockey has a weekend series this week, a weekend against Long Island University. Anytime you get Long Island University and the Wisconsin Badgers on a hockey ring, you just throw all the record books out.
Man, when you have weekends like this, back in the day, during this time of year, it would always be a WCHA weekend.
Well, when you have 17 in a conference.
That was one of the worst things that ever happened to Badger hockey, was the going away of the WCHA, and this, because they needed programming for the Big Ten Network. That's why this happened.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of other things that the great sport of hockey, I think, is getting shortchanged by the NCAA. And I voiced my opinion on this a lot down in Madison, and a lot of people kind of look at me like, hey, I'm an old geezer. I can bitch.
Well, whether it's college or even the high school level, we have a lot of the answers here.
That's right. Bring up something, and we'll figure it out.
So I imagine they're not going to Long Island this weekend.
It's his home weekend.
I wonder what kind of facilities they have in Long Island. That's gonna be peak. I'm gonna have to look that up here to see how big their rink is when they play their home games.
Well, we'll see what happens. But again, The team right now is ranked number 19.
They had a terrible start.
They're at that edge where to make the NCAA, so they got to win these games this weekend.
Hey,
so.
Bob, always appreciate it. Way to lift us up here. That was really good.
If you want to laugh, look up
Letterman and Robin
Little
Williams.
Robin Williams today.
Hey, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Hey, coming up, we have Sean Wright and then Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, all coming up in the second hour here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author Jody Hinman into the studio. Then director Anders Lindwall joins the show to discuss his film Green and Gold. That's how you light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Wildfire-weary Southern Californians on high alert again with a dangerous wind advisory back in effect today. The death toll is up to 25. CAL FIRE's Robert Foxworthy says they've begun looking for 30 people missing.
Going to every individual structure and searching it, looking for hazards, possibly searching for any victims that may not have made it out of the fire.
A confirmation hearing's beginning right now for Donald Trump's choice for attorney general. CBS's Nicole Killian says one of the big questions for Pam Bondi will be
if she will go after the president-elect's opponent.
Inflation's ticked up again with consumer prices rising 2.9% in December. Silver lining, CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The shelter index was up by 4.6% from a year ago. That is the smallest annual increase since January of 2022. That's very good news.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany.